Well, I didn't have anything else planned for today. Let's go get drunk.
This is Let's Get Drunk for Friday, September the 6th. And I don't know what show number this is. We skipped one, so I kind of lost track. Does anybody know what show number this is before I go hit the website to see? Okay. I'm going to have to go find the category real quick because I don't know the show number. It's got to be like 4.
Just pick a number.
Just pick a number. Well, yeah.
35.
Yeah, we've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, but it's an every other week thing, so.
A long while.
You know, I just realized, Let's Get Drunk, it doesn't actually have a category on the website, so there's not a quick way to get at it. I need to fix that. So, I can fix that. While drinking, I'm going to start admining the website. That's a good idea.
Wonderful
we
idea.
Must be 5.
How some of the greatest websites have been made, isn't it?
But that's how I registered galaxy15radio.com in the first place. So, you know, it's not for lack of history. This is actually Let's Get Drunk number 5. So,
I got the right multiple.
Hey, there you go. So, anyways, I guess to start things out here, we did go to Gen Con, and Madman and I both picked up Red Dragon Inn beer glasses, and I'm using mine tonight. So, let's see. Let's go ahead and crack this open. I have a Stone Levitation Ale, and I have not tried this yet, so I don't know if the microphone actually picked that up or not. I hope it did.
It did.
Yeah.
Smells like an ale. Yes, I'm intentionally clinking the bottle on the glass while I pour it, so there's a sound effect. So, while I'm doing this, Madman, what have you got?
I've got Christian Brothers Brandy and Martell Cognac.
And
I decided to taste the difference between brandy and cognac this week.
Nice! Very nice.
Good idea.
What you got, Rofaxon?
And I have... actually, I have 3. I don't know if I'll drink all of them. Probably. Harpoon Oktoberfest, I'll start with. And then I have an Angry Orchard Sinful Apple cider thingy. And then I've actually tried this one before, but not on the show. Pump Kick, which is New Belgium, I believe. I can't see in my dark and creepy internet guy room. Yeah, New Belgium. Pump Kick.
I like how you have a dark and creepy internet guy room.
I do.
Angry Orchard one. Is it an apple strawberry? I've seen some of those and I wanted to try them.
I believe it's an apple cinnamon. Apple strawberry sounds interesting, though.
Angry Orchard does one.
I'm going to have to keep an eye out for this. I didn't know they did a cinnamon, but they do.
Well, let's see. Do I want to run this through the full app, or do we just want to take a drink here? So, let's see. Let's get the app up.
I'm running mine through the app while you guys talk.
So, let's see. Gotta smell it first. Aroma. Well, I definitely smell the hops. I'm not getting hardly any of the malt. Yeah, I can't find the malt. Of course, it is a stone, and they do like to overhop, like we've talked about. So we'll give the malt. I can't smell it, so I guess the aroma would be a 0. Hops, of course, gets a 5. Smells good. Balance. I don't know. I can't smell the malt at all. So.
It'd be off balanced if you couldn't smell the malt at all. That'd be low on the balance.
Yeah, of course. You know, I'm still a little stuffed up. I'm still. You know, it's gone from con flu just to allergies now. So, I mean, I can smell, but it's not at 100%, if you know what I mean. So we'll give the balance, I don't know, 3. Appearance, the color. Color's good. It's a good dark, almost brown red. I'll go ahead and give that a 4. Clarity is perfect. Of course, it's commercial beer. Head retention is perfect. It's commercial beer. Now we actually get to drink the beer. You know, the 6 steps you have to go through before you're actually allowed to drink your beer.
That's why people aren't downloading this app. Like, damn it, when can I drink? Not yet. Look at it first.
Yep, that's definitely stone. it's got a good flavor to it. The malt takes a second to come out. But it's almost a it's almost got that chocolate flavor to it. I mean, not quite a stout, but you know what I mean? It's like you can see it from there. So we're going to give it, I mean, it's definitely a hoppy beer. It's not an IPA, but I think they might have been going for that. So let's give the, and I like the flavor of the malt. It's just, it's hidden by the hops. So we'll go 6 on the malt. Hops is, and it's a good flavor. It's a little strong. So we'll go, 6 again. Balances a hair off on hop heavy. So 15, 5 on the aftertaste, because I like the aftertaste. Carbonation, of course, is perfect. Body for an ale is perfect. Of course, it's commercial beer. Overall impression, I'm going to give it a 7. Calculate. Fair, huh? Of course, we did say this thing is a harsh judge.
It is. It really is.
So,
fair's not bad. That means, you know, fair. It's about middle of the road.
Yeah, it's a decent ale. I mean, I like it. A little surprised it only got a fair because I like the beer. But, yeah, it's not bad. So I can drink it. Certainly not, you know, not having to start dumping stuff down the drain. I haven't quite gotten that bad yet. Of course, I haven't opened that batch of blackberry that I've been letting sit and wait to see if it gets any better. So I don't know if that stuff hadn't gotten any better, that might be getting dumped down the drain.
We'll just drink a bunch of other beer first. Switch to that. Classic trick.
Yeah. We're no longer drinking for flavor, we're drinking for getting smashed. And staying smashed.
So, Rofax, and you said you were running yours through the app while I was doing mine?
I am. Similar marks to yours, actually. It's an Oktoberfest, and it's very, very hoppy. And that's not appropriate for an Oktoberfest, I don't think. It was hard to taste the malts or smell them. What was there, I think, was good, but it was overhopped. It got a 73, which is fair. Now, I want to say, and okay, this is Harpoon Oktoberfest, it has the best carbonation I've ever had in a beer. I'm not quite sure what it is. It's not like it's nitrogen carbonated like a stout would be, but there's something about the carbonation. It's still the bigger, thicker bubbles, but there's a certain smoothness to it, and it's got great head retention. The beer still has a little bit of head, pretty much exactly how much you'd want it to have. So I don't know what they did to carbonate it, but that is really like the shining star of this beer.
Granted, they brought in the devil's hands to carbonate it.
Yes. If I could choose just one thing for the beer to excel at, I don't know if it would be carbonation, but this one certainly does. It's good. It's a fair beer. I'm probably not going to buy it again, but I'm going to enjoy the ones I have. It's not bad. You know, a lot of times this is the case, but it's a little too hoppy. 73.
I didn't really care for Harpoon last time I tried one of their beers.
Yeah. Now, would you say when you tried it was horrible or just an okay beer and not a good one?
I mean, I didn't spit it out, but it's not one that I would buy.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with it's better. Not horrible, but it's not a beer I would recommend or really buy.
Yeah. I probably won't buy this again. I'd almost recommend it just so people could taste the carbonation. It's got a great mouthfeel to it. But again, the flavor's not there.
Yeah. You know, as I drink this, I feel like the flavor's getting better, but it's probably just my taste buds getting used to all the extra hop in it.
I could be. See, this one's close to like an IPA level hop, and it's like, that's not an Oktoberfest.
Yeah, see, that's kind of what's going on here, is this, you know, this is just an ale, and yeah, I mean, it tastes a lot like an IPA.
Yeah, and if so that's what you'd wanted, then that's what you'd buy.
Well, I mean, Stone is known for their IPAs and going nuts on the hop, so I kind of knew it was going to do that when I bought it, just because of the brand. Because I really like Double Bastards, so. But, yeah, I don't know. When I think ale, the flavor I think of is not IPA. It's more like a Newcastle or, you know, a brown ale, not an IPA. So, Madman, you're doing something a little different there. So, you've got your two different drinks there. What are you starting with?
I'm starting with Christian Brothers Brandy. For anyone that doesn't know what brandy is kind of a double distilled wine. All brandy starts out as wine. Some brandy's aged in a cask. The reason I got these two is cognac is technically brandy. It's just brandy made from specific grapes, and I wanted to know, was there an actual difference? Since I bought these two, I've noticed a couple of flaws in my methodology. One, I got two different brands. I don't know if cognac makers actually put out generic brandies also. I didn't see any, which is possibly why I didn't buy one. But I was looking up on how you make brandy. Some brandies are aged in an oaken cask, kind of like whiskey. Others are just distilled and bottled. This one appears to be aged some in an oaken cask. Judging it, it's similar to the beer app, except, you know, they don't do malts and hops because it's brandy. But you do check out the color. The Christian Brothers is a nice hay color. It has a bit of a sweet smell to it. And is very clear. I can't tell any grapey flavors to it, so that's kind of weird. I assumed it would still have some flavors from its former life as wine. It still has a sweet, fruity flavor, but I couldn't really give it the name of a fruit, and I think that's coming from the cask that it was aged in. It has a lot of whiskey-ish overtones.
Well, with a brandy, I mean it's distilled so much. I mean, it's kind of like vodka at that point, right? I mean, it's distilled down, so it's pretty much alcohol and, you know, some flavor.
Yeah, it's pretty much alcohol with a sweet flavor that I'm going to attribute to once being a grape, and then it has the caramely tastes of some whiskeys. I'm guessing it got that from the cask
that
it was aged
the cask,
in.
Gotta be.
And it's, I like it. It's, I have a problem with a lot of wines, just because they tend to have, I think, a rotten fruit flavor to them. And I know that's pretty much what distilling is, well, what fermentation is. But most of them aren't good rotten fruit flavors. But this, it's more of a general spirit, and I like the taste of it. So, if you're getting into brandies, I suggest Christian Brothers, especially if you're already a whiskey or a bourbon drinker. because this is hitting very similar to those.
Madman, I have to ask, are you drinking your brandy and cognac properly? As in, are you wearing a top hat and monocle?
I don't have a monocle, but I did grab a tie out of my dresser. It's a pale blue one.
Are you lighting cigars with $100 bills?
No, unfortunately I didn't have a $100 bill to waste, but I do have some ones and some Swisher Sweets, so I'm going for Ghetto Bastard.
Awesome. Very nice.
So. But it does have a nice little kick to it. It's this one's 50% alcohol. And brandies apparently range from 35 to 60, so it's kind of a mid-range.
I was actually a little surprised. This Stone Levitation, it's only 4%, which is light for a stone. So,
yeah, the whole reason I wanted to even try brandies was the Wheel of Time books. Kind of a nerd reference there.
For anybody who doesn't get the joke, go ahead and explain it. I'm sure everybody who listens read Wheel of Time, but just in case.
The main character's father made brandy, and that was actually the first time I heard of the beverage. I mean, it was probably mentioned in like movies and stuff before, but I wasn't paying attention or caring. But he made apple brandy, and I wanted to actually try apple brandy, but I didn't want to spend $100 on a bottle of brandy, so I went with traditional brandies, which apparently are cheaper.
Very
but
nice.
What if you, like, drink your brandy from a, like, hollowed-out apple? It's kind of the same thing, right?
No. Oh. Because apple brandies are actually made from apples rather than grapes. Brandy is pretty much double distilled wine, so you just... You're actually a winemaker, aren't you?
What's that?
You're actually a winemaker, aren't you? You've at least talked about experimenting with it?
I've made a few wines. I mostly made mead, which is technically a wine made out of honey. That's the one I prefer.
If to turn it into brandy is after you made the mead, you would distill it.
I've thought about doing that too. I tried freeze distilling once, but it takes forever. And I did actually get really strong mead, which was kind of cool, but like the actual still thing, I haven't done that before. There's actually laws that you can't do. Well, in Indiana, you can't do anything here. You can own a still, but you can't use it.
You know, there is... you could always go the ghetto method and just pour it through a water filter.
Yes.
We live in Kentucky, and you can distill so much a year before you need a license.
I don't understand why I can't do that. What a bunch of crap.
That's your state legislature, my friend.
I just love how you can own the still. That's perfectly legal, but don't use it. Stupid camera rack. That's irritating.
Do you honestly think you'd get caught running the damn thing?
No, I don't. I could get away with it. But it's the principle of the thing. It's like not being able to sell or alcohol on Sunday. That irritates me too.
I'm moving on to the cognac, and I'm going to compare the flavors. The colors are actually the same. And if anyone wants to know the difference between brandy and cognac is made from champagne grapes. Brandy is made from any other type of grape. Or fruit. Brandy can actually, like I said, made from apples or plums. Cognac must be made from champagne grapes. There's a couple of other grape varieties, but the generic rule is if it's made from champagne grapes, it's cognac. The colors are the same. They're both like a straw color. The cognac does smell stronger. I wonder if it is. Not telling me an alcohol by volume. Isn't that required?
Possibly.
I don't know.
Oh, there it is. 40% alcohol by volume. but it does have a stronger alcoholic smell. And it's dry. Whereas the brandy had a sweet flavor, this has a very dry wine flavor. Still not detecting the grapes, I'm going to assume that's from the distilling process. But it is a much drier spirit. I'm not getting as much of the caramel characteristics, so I'm not sure if it was aged or not. Not even sure if you age brandies. Let's look that up. I meant cognacs.
Well, while you're doing that, I think I'm going to go ahead and move on to my second drink here, because I just finished off my beer. And so I decided to I wanted to get a scotch. So I got some Sprayburn Highland Single Malt, which is a 10-year scotch. And you know it's fancy, because it came in a tin. Where's the... See if I can make the same make a noise. Nope, apparently not. So, yeah. Came in a tin. So I'm not quite sure what the whole point of giving you a little tin with your scotch is, but they do it. So, now I like scotch. I was actually looking... I couldn't remember the name of the stuff Fox had at the meetup. I was hoping to find something like that. It was very peaty. But, so anyways, let's see here. I have to turn up the choke on the mic so it can pick up the sound effects a little bit better. So. Anyways, and of course I've made the same mistake I've made before where I brought the bottle in here with me, so I may end up sitting here refreshing the glass, which may or may not end well. So
it's fine. I've got brandy and cognac in front of me, and I may be mixing them later on.
Yes. I'm not.
Especially since I also brought a beer, so I could have brandy cognac beer here in a moment.
Okay, you're mixing up your shows again.
Well, can you take, like, mix the brandy and cognac and put it in a shot glass, then drop it in the beer, then chuck it?
I'm fairly certain some pretentious ass somewhere is planning our deaths now just for this suggestion. But yes, we can turn them into an Irish car bomb of sorts.
It'd have to be a really expensive beer, too. That shows real class, because you can waste money on a really cheap, nasty drink. Well, you can get really good quality and turn it into a cheap, nasty drink.
That's going to be an expensive, nasty drink.
I know, that's what shows you're rich.
Wow, okay, $100
beers as coasters.
This Sprayburn has almost no bite to it whatsoever. What's it? It's a 86 proof, so I would expect it to have a little bit of a bite, but it has none. Quite
very smooth alcohol?
Very smooth alcohol. You'll have to try some of this when you come over, man. It's a... Yeah, I mean, I was expecting it to have a little bit of a bite to it, because normally when I get a scotch, they do, but this one, none.
And at 86% alcohol, that's a booze to get drunk on.
No, 86 proof.
Oh.
Like 43% alcohol.
What was the name of it?
It is Sprayburn Single Malt.
Huh.
And, I mean, I get a little bit of that peaty flavor, but not a lot. It's not a very strong flavor. In fact, the whole scotch, the flavor is very subdued. So.
What's your opinion of single malt alcohols versus blended?
Well, blended means you're going to get a more consistent flavor, which I guess it depends on what you're doing. Like, you know, the single malt's cool and all, especially if you find one that you really like. But at least with the blended, you have a shot at getting it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to get too bent out of shape about it one way or the other. It's just, do I like what I have in my hand or not, right?
Yeah. I'm not so snobby as to say it must be a single malt. I do like just experimenting with them because you do get unique flavors that way. The only downside is you could find the best whiskey on the planet, but you will never drink it again. Drinking single malt.
Yeah, wouldn't that really suck? I mean, I guess if you're a gambler, you'd do the single malt because you could find something really awesome. But again, never getting it again.
I think with the single malts, you know, either you want to buy several bottles from the same barrel, right? You know, it's like you sample it, decide you like it, then get a couple of the same bottle.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you have to be willing to say, okay, I like this, and I'm going to put it up, and I'm going to, you know, save it, and I'm going to try to make it last, because you may never find it again. I know a lot of winers, they, you know, they've got certain batches they keep, try to keep, you know, hang on, you always hear people reference the year, right?
Yeah.
You know, they try to keep certain batches because they know it came out really good and they want to hang on to it. Of course, plus two, they age. So, I guess, you know, it changes over time. But, yeah, I mean, it's the same concept, right? That, you know, you're not going to get the same exact same one again. So, you've got to be willing to put it up and hang on to it, you know, if it's really, really good and you don't want to. You know, you don't want to risk not having it again, you know. You just got to have the discipline to put the bottle away.
I suppose I wouldn't make it my main whiskey, so to speak. Like, Jameson is blended, and you can always expect it to be the same, and that's normally what I drink. But I guess for, like, a special occasion or something,
yeah,
I'd buy a nice single malt. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. And it would be kind of cool to be, like, I don't know, maybe it's prestigious, but it would be kind of cool to be like, you know, there's like 10 other people in the world who have the exact same whiskey that I have right here. And that number just keeps going down as it ages.
So, I definitely like this scotch. I'm definitely going to be drinking on this. It's certainly not anywhere near as it doesn't taste very strong, which for a 43% alcohol is not the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but I can definitely see drinking this stuff for a little bit. I'm obviously not going to be buying this stuff all the time. This is not going to be my main go-to whiskey by any means, just because it was $30 for the bottle. And we all acknowledge this is an expensive hobby, but damn. If you know, if you drank this stuff all the time, that would add up quickly.
I don't know, that's about the price I pay for bourbon, and I have to keep the earth from falling into the sun.
That's true. No, I mean, I went for this one over the $40 bottle just because it was $10 less, and I couldn't tell what the difference between the two was. So,
you know, I once had a really good whiskey. It was Crown Royal, which I actually like Crown Royal, but it was like the XR or something, and my friend bought it, and it's in like a little red pouch, and he let me try some. He's like, oh, you gotta try this, it's really good. And I tried it, and it was really good, and it was all nice and smooth, and I was like, oh man, that's good. That might even be better than Jameson. I might make this my new regular. And I was like, what is it? And he told me, I was like, so how much does that run? He's like, oh, it's a little expensive. I was like, oh, it's like a $50 bottle. And I was like, no, $200 for a fifth.
Yeah, so you're going to make that one your new whiskey, huh?
And I was like, okay, turns out I'm not making this one my new whiskey, but it was good. If you have a rich friend, you should get him or her to buy you a bottle of the $200 Crown Royal, because, yeah, that stuff was really good. But I was like, yeah, I'm never buying this. I can't afford $200 for a fifth.
I'm thinking anyone that puts out a $200 bottle of whiskey is either putting out some of the most awesome whiskey on the planet, and you should just try it if you ever have a chance, or they're getting shot in about a week and a half after someone buys that.
Yeah, I know.
Because you can't get a refund on alcohol. Once you buy it, it's pretty much yours.
Yeah, and if you're like, this tastes like Jim Beam, I mean, somebody is going to have a bad day. That's going to lead to violence somewhere.
So, you know, I've got this idea. We're going to need to set up about 30 shell companies with some fake identities.
And all of them are going to be routed through Delaware.
Yes.
They have the best offshore banking laws of anywhere.
So what we do is we buy like the $10 crappy whiskey, like the worst stuff we can find, and we do the whole relabel it and charge $300 a bottle for it, right?
We're going to do this with Vladimir Vodka.
We're going to call it a whiskey, too. We're going to buy a vodka and relabel it as a whiskey. Man, talk about screwing with people.
Yeah. Like, man, this stuff's great. Have you ever had this flavor before? It's called Gut Rot Vodka.
Oh, hell.
I was actually looking up how cognacs are made. And one of you might be able to answer this question for me. Noticing that they pretty much just press grape juice and then let it ferment for 2 to 3 weeks using the region's wild yeast. How in the world do you actually attract wild yeast? Because everything I've seen on brewing, you're pretty much adding yeast as an ingredient.
You're doing that to save time. Wild yeasts will get into it. They're kind of here, there, and everywhere. It's sort of like why women have common problems with that.
Yeah, those are wild yeast. Those are wild yeasts, yeah.
So,
which is what I want fermenting my alcohol.
Hey, Dead Hooker beer will exist. I've had that conversation before.
Dead Hooker beer.
No, but
we use only the finest Dead Hookers to cultivate our yeast.
Yes. It is true that wild yeast floats around everywhere, and if you just take grape juice out and let it set, you can very possibly ferment it that way, but my mom did, and I don't think she like read some article in a magazine and was like, it's brilliant. And this is huge risk, though, and exactly what happened to her. Instead of, because she was doing mulberry, I think, instead of mulberry wine, she got mulberry vinegar. So,
yeah. See, that,
because
that's
vinegar is natural in the environment, too.
You get the wrong thing in there and you're done, right? So that the reason why when you're doing it you add the yeast is because that way you can seal it up, keep everything sterile while you're making it. You remember how I was sterilizing everything when I was doing some beer brewing?
Yes.
That was purely so we didn't get wild yeasts or anything else in there, so we would only have the one I put in it. And you know, if you put the wrong one in it, or you let the wrong one get in it, one, you might get a bad flavor. You know, get the wrong kind of yeast, right? But two, you could get vinegar, you could get, you can get all kinds of nasty crap growing in there too. So, I imagine, you know, once people figured out it was the yeast, they got really good at you know. You yourself was telling me, you were telling me about reusing yeast, you know, cultivating the yeast out of the batch and saving it for the next batch.
Find a yeast that's particularly good, that's pretty much what gives a lot of beers their unique flavor from brand to brand. It's the yeast that they're using to make the beer.
Yeah. You know, it's a big part of it, so. And I guess if you're doing wild yeast, it's kind of like blue cheese, you know, if you age it in the right caves or wherever they age it, it's always going to be the same. So if you've got a place where you've got all this wine brewing, you're probably going to have more yeast than anything else going, so you'll probably be fine. But like doing it in your living room's probably a bad idea, because it's just as likely you've got vinegar floating around as you do yeast, and flies carry vinegar, so don't let flies land on your beer, well, your wort.
Or you could get baking yeast, and you end up with something that tastes a lot more like bread than it does beer.
Yeah, that'd be something I'd worry about, too, because, I mean, yeast is yeast, and I'm sure you could throw, and I've heard of people doing it in the old days when it was hard to find yeast, you could throw some baker's yeast in your beer and get something alcoholic, but, I mean, well, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, it's funny. When I was very, very first starting out with beer brewing, right? I had been given a Mr. Beer kit as a Christmas gift. And so I'm messing with it, and of course I'm doing all the reading online, figuring out how do you actually use this thing, not just the instructions that come with it. I want to make sure I get something decent out of this, which I did, by the way. And you know, I found this guy who put out this YouTube video basically talking about how horrible Mr. Beer was. And the funniest part was he explains how he picked up a 10-year-old kit at a garage sale. And then he tried to add coconut to it. And, you know, he figured out his yeast was dead. So he went down and bought baker's yeast to put it in there. And then he was surprised when what came out of it wasn't very good.
Yeah, that's not really Mr. Beer's fault.
No, he was totally talking about how terrible Mr. Beer as a kit was because exactly, you know, because of all this other stuff. And it's like, no, dude, you got an expired kit.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's an expert. And then he used baker's, and why was he putting coconut in? You know, that's, I'm a brewer, I'm going to add coconut. You know, there's a reason there's no such thing as coconut beer, because that's stupid.
Suave actually just messaged me, said he made wine with baker's yeast when he was a teenager and it came out fine, so I don't know.
Well, there you go. Maybe sometimes it doesn't.
I've never tried it, and I've never wanted to waste a batch of wort trying it.
So. Right. Now, maybe in a wine with a really strong flavor, it would cover it up or something, but I always use wine yeast in my wine, and I have to admit, just talking about wine, you have to buy like real legitimate grape juice made for wine, because I made a wine once and I was like, I don't know where you get grape juice, just use Welch's or something. So I did.
Oh, and wait, you used the artificial stuff?
Yeah. It tasted like alcoholic Welch's, and I was like, wow, this stuff really isn't grape juice.
Oh, that's funny.
I later used something a little more legitimate, but yeah. Most of my wines aren't actually made of grapes, though, because have you priced, like, wine-quality grape juice? You're spending, like, $100 for a 5-gallon batch, and just for the juice. What the hell? I can't afford that.
So you're going with, like, Concord grapes?
Yeah, yeah. I just buy grapes from the grocery store and throw them in some water and let them sit overnight. No. Wouldn't work. Incidentally, I have opened my Angry Orchard Sinful Apple. It's actually really good. I have to admit, it smells bad. I really don't care for the smell. It's the color of apple cider, but it's nice. It's, you know, a regular hard cider, but then it's got like the cinnamon flavor to it. Not bad. Oh, did I tell you guys I started a stout as well a couple weeks ago?
I haven't actually tried to brew anything here lately, but I haven't really been getting supplies. I think I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to use an extract if I want to buy stuff locally.
Yeah. And again, I think we talked about it last time. Extracts still make good beers.
Oh, absolutely. My first several batches were extract-based. I just haven't figured out how to do it with the gear I've got. For the size. And everything I've seen right now has been kit-based, and it's like, that's not what I'm wanting to do. I'm wanting to do something a little bit more involved.
Right.
So
do they sell just the, like, dry malt extract?
Or yes.
Or do they not? Okay.
I just don't know how to use it, and I just haven't looked, that's all.
I was going to say, I'm sure
to figure it out.
Yeah, no, it's really not that hard. I've got a recipe that I just made that involves dry malt extract, which is, it's actually pretty simple. It's just like, I think it's like 6 pounds of the dry malt extract stuff. But all you do is you, like, boil your water. You steep your grains in your water or whatever, and then when you're done steeping them, you just pour the dry malt extract into that water and stir. Takes a while for it to break down, and it gets all clumpy, which would be solved by pouring slowly, but I'm not patient, so I don't do that. It's not hard, though. 7 pounds of dark extract? What? Okay, well, it's like 6 or 7 pounds for 5 gallons.
Okay, well, like I said, I just haven't even really looked at it.
Right.
So...
cinnamon apple stuff is actually really good. Better as you drink more of it. cinnamon and apple go together really well. It tastes like you just threw Red Hots in your apple cider and let them sit there for a while. That doesn't actually sound appetizing, but it's actually really good.
Cinnamon, clove are common spices to add to hot apple cider.
That's true. You know what? I think that's kind of what it reminds me of. A hot apple cider.
An alcoholic hot apple cider?
Yeah. You know what? I wonder what this would taste like warmed up. I don't know. That actually might be good.
It's well, probably a decent a winter drink.
Yeah, it could be. I do have a microwave, but it's in the other room, and I don't like standing up.
In that case, get yourself a, like a spoon and a lighter, and just heat it up. And
yes.
Sort of like doing the red hot poker in the mead, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That would totally work.
Yeah, that's not dumb at all.
No. You know, I did hear something interesting on a podcast I was listening to. I wonder your guys' thoughts about it. It was talking about the craft brew market and everything, right? And, like, we have so many more options than we used to. But then he actually drew an interesting parallel that I like, too. It's like, okay, I actually hate reality shows, but I still think they tell us something about society. If you've noticed, like, here
they,
the
they
last...
tell us people are willing to believe that that edited bullshit is a reality show.
Well, okay. I was going for a little something a little more positive here, but you're actually completely
you haven't
right
been
on
listening to
too.
The station here lately, have you?
I'm going to try to be the optimistic one.
Decking is documenting the country's decline into a police state at this point. So
yeah, it really is.
I mean...
I think that's why you started Let's Get Drunk.
Yes. Just to
I gotta kill the pain somehow, right?
But, what were you gonna say about reality shows?
Oh, yeah, if you've noticed in the last couple of years, you've had, like, what's the one called with that, MasterChef and Hell's Kitchen and Kitchen Makeovers or whatever it's called. But you've had, like, all these, cooking shows, cooking reality shows, and you have, like, celebrity chefs. And that didn't really used to be a thing. You're famous for playing rugby or basketball or whatever the popular sport is, or being a movie star. But you've got, like, celebrity chefs. And this guy was kind of saying, as a society, we are becoming more and more concerned with what we eat, what we drink, the textures, and really appreciating the finer things in a culinary sense of the art. Really appreciating your food, really appreciating your beverage. Excuse me. And that's why we're just not satisfied by something like Budweiser, because it's boring. And we're not satisfied by something like McDonald's, even though I see no evidence for that, because it's boring. But now we need something, you know, better, like high-quality craft beer and maybe even high-quality food. Though, seriously, I don't see that one as much. But I thought it was interesting. I mean, are we becoming more refined, really appreciating the sensual nature of food and beverage more now than we used to?
Yeah.
Or is that just way too optimistic?
Budweiser still holds the lion's share of the market. Craft beers make up next to nothing as far as sales. And McDonald's is vastly expanding.
It's more just the fact that we're on the internet, so we're able to more easily ghettoize by interest. It looks like there's a lot of people who are really into the home brewing and really into the craft beers, but that's because the people who are into that are talking to each other a lot more easily now than they used to be.
But undeniably, the craft beer market is bigger than it used to be.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I mean,
and people are acknowledging it, which is nice.
Those cook guy shows are big. I don't know if the cook guy show fit in or not. That was his argument. It's part of... But I do wonder if... I don't think society at large is doing this. But I wonder if there is a subculture of people who are appreciating the more sensual things in life. Appreciating fine food and fine drink.
Well, Suave just sent me a graph here. A record number of active permitted brewers is actually surpassed where it was... When the country's... Well, can't read. What was that? 1887 is as far back as the graph goes. So he sent me that with the note of we're finally recovered from Prohibition. So I'll have to throw that link in the chat here so you guys can see it. And it's actually really interesting because in the graph he sent me here, it's starting at a little above 2000, and it hovers there until 1915. It looks like it sloped off to below 1500. Then of course Prohibition, nothing, and then it shoots back up, and it never got above 1000 again until it looks like about 1993, and we finally surpassed that. It's in 2012 that we got up above 2500 there. So
that was a sharp rise though in around 93.
I think you're right though. I think that's the craft beers coming online. But now those are starting to get bought up by big companies.
Right, you're right.
Isn't so I'm not sure how that graph did that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did they account for how many of them have been bought up by the larger companies or not?
Well, I know my local homebrew store, right next to it, a new brewery opened, and it's a guy who used to be a homebrewer, and because they were all talking about it in there a while ago, and he was just a regular, an eccentric rich guy, but still.
Just a regular old eccentric rich guy.
No, but he was a rich guy, so, he's not like me, but still, he was a guy with a job and everything else, and he was just like, I really love beer, and I'm going to make it my thing, and he opened up a brewery, right next to the brew store, and something like that. I feel like something like that wouldn't have happened in the past, so literally 2 and 3 man operations are popping up sometimes, which I think is a great thing. Unless you're one of these, I want to try every homebrew in the world, and you're like, curses, it's harder to do now.
I doubt you were ever going to do it before.
Well, back in 1973, it looks like it wouldn't be too hard.
That's everyone in the States. You got to think India was still big into homebrewing simply because they didn't have commercial breweries.
Well, okay, that's a fair point. Maybe I wanted to try every craft brew in the States.
And then it looks like the 60s would have been your years.
I was not around then.
Even thinner around 79 and 80. That would probably be the best time to do it.
Yeah, that would have been your best time to try all of them. Well, I always listen to, there's a brewing podcast I listen to, and I listen to these guys, and about, the closest brew store was, 2 hours away, and I'm like, oh, okay. And it's like, you walk in there, and there's, there is no bulk grind. You don't all grind brew, and there's just, a kit, and it's one of those, liquid kits that have everything in it, the hops and everything, and you'll be lucky if you see, three types of grain and maybe two hops, and the hops are just sitting on the shelf, not refrigerated or anything. And I was like, damn, how'd you guys brew back then? Unrefrigerated hops. Yeah, so, no, it's definitely a better time to be brewing. I don't know, does it spill over into the rest of society, though? Do the home brewers appreciate food more? Do the home brewers appreciate other finer things, maybe? Because I think we should. I don't like the whole, fast food, let's go to McDonald's because it is food and we eat it culture that is kind of prevalent right now, and something to break us out of that. I think that would be great. I don't know, maybe I'm putting too much faith in homebrewing changing the world, but or craft.
Well, something's got to do it. It might as well be that, right?
Why not? Everyone likes beer.
I've kind of looked out, at least on the food side. My family's always been into somewhat gourmet cooking. Houston Wilson was a chef with his own show from, the 30s up. Some old Cajun guy. My dad loved him.
Oh, is that the guy who did the, day without wine? Is it like a day without sunshine line?
whenever he was cooking and the recipe called for wine, one of his famous quotes was, "It doesn't matter what color, the food's not going to know what color the wine is," and he just tossed something in. He actually tossed in stuff that worked, so I think he was just joking around.
Right.
Well, you never know.
I'm thinking that it's becoming less of a subculture, though. Somebody did find that there's a market for it. So instead of having three or four cooking shows throughout a week, there's now a channel devoted to it, and the general public, I think, might be getting more into it, but we've always had a decent subculture of really good food, especially in the South. That's one reason we're all fat.
Yes. Well, you're right. There's that. We have always had the subculture of food, but it's surprising to see it hit, like, primetime television. And I don't know, can you really call Nightmare Chef? What's that show called? Master Chef. Can you really call Master Chef a cooking show? It does center around cooking. But, you know, it's like, cook this stuff really fast. Or, I don't know, it's more of a reality show than a cooking show, but it at least shows us we care about food. Granted, I've never eaten at one of his restaurants, but that's poor.
That's the vacation thing I want to do next time I head on vacation.
Eat at
There's
like a
dozen
restaurant.
Microbrews and restaurants in my area. Well, by my area, I mean easy driving distance.
You wanting to do the Bourbon Trail and go up to Louisville and hit all those and head
I
want to
hit up Bardstown and get all their microbrews and a few of the restaurants I'm going to be spending stupid amounts of money for food on. And then hit up Louisville for their microbrews.
I think that'd be a good idea.
That would actually be a really fun thing to do. So, I say we do a mini meetup. And
yes. Yes. Kentucky's not far from me.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of appreciating food and drink both, instead of just eating because you have to. Even though another part of me wants a robot body, and they probably don't eat or drink.
Oh, I don't know. They could probably be built to tolerate it. It wouldn't really do much for it. But they did make a clock that runs by killing flies. Literally digests them.
I want this clock.
It is creepy, but I really want it.
I'm trying to remember if that was a Decking story or an IHN story now.
That's going to eat people one day. Going to be a timepiece that eats people.
Hang on a second. Let me find that link there.
Man, that sounds like a really bad horror movie.
Carnivorous clock. Here it is. It's from 2011. So, it catches flies and digests them in a fuel cell, and it runs the LCD clock.
Nice.
Here, I'll give you guys a link that's from... You just Google carnivorous clock, you'll find several stories about it, but here's the one that first came up for me.
I'm thinking the drinking show is over at the point we're discussing the carnivorous clock.
Wait, that just means we're finally hitting the part of the drinking show where shit gets fun because we've been drinking enough to discuss the carnivorous clock.
I can bring it back to the drinking show. Have you guys seen the beer bot? It's like a robot and it runs on beer. I don't know how they programmed it, but they like programmed it to like ask people for change so it could buy beer. And if it doesn't get beer, it like stops running. So they like programmed in artificial intelligence and stuff, so like it learned that if it makes small talk first, it's like, how's it going? People are more likely to buy it a drink, so it started like small talking and like chatting up people than asking for money.
Telling me they're working on generation one of Bender.
Yes. Actually,
I didn't have anything else planned for today. Let's go get drunk.
As in Bender.
Yes, that is exactly what they are working on.
Is it an internal... How do you turn beer into fuel as far as the mechanical aspect goes?
No idea.
I mean, I could see buy me some bourbon, because some of that's high enough proof to burn. It's
that's
an internal combustion engine.
Maybe it's a form of a battery? Like the lemon juice batteries? I don't know that alcohol would be a terribly efficient way of doing that.
Yeah, I don't think it was actually supposed to be efficient so much as can you get people to buy you beer? Because I don't know the details. It is a YouTube video. My understanding it was real. It could have been a hoax, actually. But no, I think it was real.
I mean, even if it's a crappy motor, I'm fairly certain there's enough people at a bar thinking this is hilarious that it will run for an hour and a half.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you saw a robot in the bar and it asked you to buy it a beer, would you not be like, yes?
I'd be at the very least like, get this thing a Pabst Blue Ribbon right now.
It's not going to notice
okay,
the
first,
difference.
Let's have it open up an access panel and make sure there's not a midget inside there. But as soon as we confirmed the lack of midget, abso-fucking-lutely.
That would be awesome.
When you were talking about the beer bot, I was thinking the bartending robots I've seen that actually just go around refilling drinks. It's like a mechanical spider with 1,000 types of booze sticking in it.
That's pretty awesome, too.
Look, I'm going to walk over and spit out a shot of something. Have fun.
But how do you pay it? I mean, is it really going to know if you paid or not?
Swipe a credit card, just like any vending machine.
We've had automated vending machines that take money for how many generations now? The cash is completely doable. I'm just wondering, how are you going to refrigerate the beer if it's carrying beer? Because I like my beer cold.
Okay, this is why this is not going to work. Have you ever been at a vending machine and you're like, ooh, Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts sound delicious. I don't think Pop-Tarts are delicious, but it's my example. No, Pop-Tarts are okay. Anyway, the point is, and you're like, oh,
you're
put in my nubs.
You're somebody high on pot. Keep going.
Yeah. So someone high on pot, they see their Pop-Tarts, and you put in the dollar, and it goes up, bzz, bzz, spits it back out, and you're flattening it out. You put it in again. You turn it upside down. And eventually, you're just like, screw this. I can't get my Pop-Tarts. Think about what would happen if someone who really wanted a beer had to go through that, or a drunk guy who really wanted that fourth beer, trying to put little dollars in the vending machine.
Oh,
robot.
This is easy. Oh. Modern vending machines can actually take credit cards. Where I work, we have several that will. They're not hooked up to credit cards. They're hooked up to student IDs, so they can hit their meal dollar plans or whatever
what?
In the vending machine. Yeah.
Again. We're thinking about an alcoholic who has ruined his life and doesn't have credit, so he
he's just
going to
smash
card.
The machine with a hammer and steal the booze.
He's going to mug a robot. Dude's going to mug a robot. That's the way it's going to happen.
And that is a storyline I want to see. Man mugs robot for beer.
Man robs beer-drinking robot. Robot shuts down.
Yes.
We're hitting about an hour mark here, so I was just kind of looking through the sound effects of what we want to close out on. And there's something in one of the IHN soundboards here called Beer 001, and it's 23 seconds long, so I figured we'd close out on that. I have no idea what it is. It's probably something horribly offensive because it's in an IHN soundboard. So I'm going to close it out with this.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way.
I should have known.
So now we're going to do a show called Let's Get Stoned?
No, that's going to be Big's new show, Let's Get Crunk. And, that's funny.
I'd listen to it.
I'd listen to it, too, just to listen to them trying to be, well.
I don't think they'd try. They'd go out, score something, and then we'd just be listening to people on drugs.
No, not that part. I'm just saying them on drugs trying to impersonate black people.
You have to impersonate a black person to be on the show?
Let's Get Crunk.
Okay.
I didn't make that joke. I'm just repeating it. So, okay, it's still racist. I just...
I'm like, I didn't write Mein Kampf, but if I'm quoting it...
It's not racist.
It's not racist, it's just what the book says, man.
I didn't burn the first Jew, so it's not racist.
And that's an excellent place to end it right there. Oh, hell. I'm going to hit stop on this recording now. Okay. Listen to the stream. We're updating it all the time. Listen to other shows on the station. I've been drinking. I don't remember what they all are. I don't know how many of them are on hiatus and not. And I'm hitting stop right now.